Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday. Don't forget to listen to the World Series on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9. That's brought to you by 312 Pizza Company. Tonight it's on 94.9. Game 6 of the World Series. So the Braves try to close things out with a 3-2 lead over the Stros. First pitch, 7:09. That makes sense. Sure, 7:09 p.m. Chase has guaranteed, this is what he knows. The Braves close it out.
What's that drop tonight the morning show uses during their locks of the week?
Guaranteed.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm at. Get it done tonight. The Bravos.
Well, according to you, they will.
They're going to.
So it's a done deal. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, the home of the best pizza in Nashville. Head over to 312 Pizza Company to grab a bite, a beer, and watch some October, now November, baseball. Let's bring in Mitch Light. The doors are off this week. No Clark Lee. The Vanderbilt off. Bye week. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. Hope you're well. And I didn't realize baseball was still going on. I figured once the Yankees lose, they just kind of cancel the season. So it's good to know that they're still playing some ball.
Wow.
Yep. See, glad that big payroll worked out for you.
That's why people hate Yankees fans. So congrats. Way to play to that crowd.
Hey, you wear it. Hey, don't, I don't care.
Mitch, don't be your stereotype, okay? Come on.
I am not. I think you guys know me well enough, and hopefully, if it's Willie on today, hopefully you can defend
He's in Calgary.
Okay, I don't consider, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, but I come from Southern stock. My parents are Southern. I don't consider myself an obnoxious Yankee, for lack of a better word, but, you know, every once in a while I try to be obnoxious about the Yankees, though I know I've got no reason to be. That's part of the bit. That's part of the shtick, being obnoxious even though they haven't won forever.
Yeah, we actually just heard that side, like, minutes ago. So, yeah, you do have that. We just heard it.
Yeah. Every once in a while. It rears its, not ugly, it rears its charming head.
There was nothing charming in Starkville if you thought Kentucky was going to beat Mississippi State, because they went down there, and I know they have the Egg Bowl in the state of Mississippi. I guess Kentucky wanted to contribute to the Egg Bowl because they laid a big, gigantic Easter egg Saturday in Starkville. Tons of turnovers. It was bad. Very, very bad.
Yeah. I was not surprised. In fact, I
really? That's two. Vince came on earlier and said he thought Mississippi State was going to win. You did too?
We talked about that line.
There's documented evidence of this.
Oh, okay.
I participated in a round table with some editors and writers from The Athletic that we do every week, and I jump in every once in a while. We go over the big games of the week. And I picked I actually had a good week. I picked Mississippi State to win that game. I picked Virginia Tech to beat Georgia Tech, and picked Michigan State to beat Michigan. But on Kentucky, I think if you looked at it, Kentucky had not been playing, other than the LSU game where they scored 42 points, they hadn't really played great on offense. They had two road games. They did not play well at South Carolina and Georgia. There's no crime, no shame in losing to Georgia. But bottom line, they'd scored two touchdowns in two road games if you take out that last touchdown on the last play against Georgia. And I just thought Mississippi State had been playing better. And the talent, I mean, if you look at the rosters, the talent's probably pretty even. So, I mean, it wasn't like I went in sure that Mississippi State was going to win. You know, a little surprised by the margin and the way it happened. But that's what happens when you go play a team on the road that's probably your equal in talent. And then if you make mistakes and don't capitalize when you have opportunities. And so, you know, that's what we saw from Kentucky.
There's two big, gigantic elephants in the room for Kentucky football. Florida, which they beat earlier, and Tennessee. I mean, those, you know, they have been historically bad against both programs for a long time. So with all that being said, you think this is a bounce-back week for Kentucky, or is this what Kentucky's done a lot over decades, and they stumble again this week against Tennessee?
Yeah, fascinating game. I think I'm going to pick Kentucky. It's probably a home team pick for me. If it was Tennessee, I'd probably pick Tennessee. If it was Tennessee, I continue to be impressed with Tennessee's offense, though. But kind of the thing was, earlier in the year after the South Carolina and Missouri game and kind of said, okay, they did it against bad teams, and quite frankly, that's like the MO of some of Josh Heupel's offenses. They'll run up big, big numbers against bad teams, but they can't get it done against the better teams in the schedule. And I don't care what the final score was. They made Alabama sweat 2 weeks ago. Tennessee did. Impressed with the way they played there. Kentucky's got a good defense. Inconsistent offense. I'm fascinated by the outcome of this game. You know, I want to watch the game, but I'm just more fascinated to look at the box score afterwards and see who does what there. But I should have looked this up already. What's the spread? I'd say Kentucky's
one.
My favorite.
I think it's one.
Yeah. So basically, it's a pick 'em. I mean, Kentucky being the home team, you know, get a few points there. So maybe the boys in Vegas think Tennessee's actually maybe a little bit better by that spread. But I'll go Kentucky at home. But not, this is one of those, like, just kind of flip a coin. Nothing would surprise me.
This Georgia defense is historically good. They've averaged, I think they're giving up on average, I think it's like 6.5 points a game. Like, just let that soak in. 6.5 points a game is what they're averaging giving up. So I'm going to ask you, just your opinion. LSU's offense a couple of years ago when they won the national championship or Georgia's defense this year, which one is better? Yeah. Which one would you choose?
Yeah. Good question. I like that. And we've called that LSU team from 2 years ago maybe one of the best
right.
teams you've seen in college football. Imagine if you could – I mean, sports don't work.
It wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, you could combine those two. Hey, you know what? They might win the national championship. And I think it's the fair comparison is the Georgia offense to the LSU defense. And, you know, I know that doesn't really answer your question. That LSU defense wasn't great. It was definitely good enough to win. And this Georgia offense isn't great, but it's good enough to win. I think I would take the Georgia defense only because of the era of football we live in, where points and yards come more easily. And that LSU offense, while unbelievable, was sort of a trend in college football. We'd seen Oklahoma and Alabama teams recently and Ohio State this year kind of put up mind-boggling numbers. This Georgia defense is kind of a throwback to the early 2010s. So maybe that's why, because it's sort of bucking the trend of college football. So maybe I go with this Georgia defense.
Interesting. I think I'm with you. As fun as that LSU offense was, I like this. If you enjoy defense, like, I don't know what there isn't to enjoy about it. I don't know how many of these guys how many of them are going to play on Sundays, but how many of them are going to get picked in the first round? I mean, they're ridiculously good. I mean, doesn't Georgia have the biggest recruiting budget in the country?
Well, that is, yes. I mean, there's numbers out there. Those numbers are slightly getting off topic, played with a little bit because, I know Florida's recruiting is a hot topic nowadays because of Dan Mullen. But, like, Florida owns its own plane. So when Dan Mullen, if he ever goes to recruit, no, I'm kidding, he recruits. When they go recruit, that's different. Georgia has to, pay for, I'm sure they have a charter service or something like that. That's like Georgia's budget is higher because they don't have their own plane. So it's those numbers, while they matter, I don't really put a ton of stock in them, although you could argue that Georgia, because of all of the talent in its backyard, doesn't necessarily need to travel as much as some other schools. Florida's one of those schools, but Gainesville, Florida's a big state, and Gainesville's sort of the north, so I'm sure they go down to other parts of the state a lot there. But so just take those numbers sometimes with a grain of salt.
Interesting. All right, so let's just segue into Dan Mullen. What did you make? I mean, it's not the first time he's come out and said some things that garnished a lot of attention. So what did you make of the latest installment of Dan Mullen?
Yeah, and we covered this a lot at The Athletic. Ari Wasserman, who I work with, our recruiting writer, wrote a good column on this. And, let's be clear, Dan Mullen wasn't saying that they don't recruit in the regular season. A lot of people jumped on that on Twitter. It's like, oh, how can they not recruit? Well, he didn't appreciate the question. He thinks he's smarter than everyone else. And he's just like, we'll talk about it when the season's over. So it was more of a window into his attitude towards the question and getting defensive. And, if you go back for years, dating back to his Mississippi State time, he was seemingly a candidate for a lot of jobs, interviewed a lot of places, and the word is he did not interview very well. And he sort of had that I'm the smartest guy in the room, attitude, which is fine in a lot of cases when you're the head coach at a major university, but when you're applying for another job, maybe you should tone it down a little bit. So I just think, and I'm a big Dan Mullen fan, I think he's actually one of the best coaches in the country, But I think his attitude, it just, you can't, and when you just got beat that bad by one of your rivals who's so much more talented than you, and you're at the University of Florida, you cannot handle a recruiting question and be that dismissive about it.
Yeah.
You've got to buy into it. Like, Mike Norvell was asked about it today at Florida, and Florida State, I'm sure, because of the way, because of what happened with Dan Mullen. And he took the bait and he ran with it. Oh, it's the lifeblood of the program. It's the most important thing we do, blah, blah, blah. That's how you handle it. Dan Mullen might not want to answer the question like that, but you've got to, and now it's kind of blown up in his face.
Do you think this is kind of a byproduct of the stage he's on now, and the lights are a lot brighter, and you can get away? I mean, he was saying stuff like this in Starkville, but no offense to Mississippi State, they're not on the same stage as Florida football. Do you think this is part of it? Is this what you've signed up for, Dan?
Yeah, and also, like, he was winning. He was meeting and exceeding expectations at Mississippi State, so he could say what he wanted to. It wasn't just the stage he was at; it was the level of success he was having. It's all kind of relative to where you are, to what you can get away with. Now, definitely, the stage is bigger at Florida, and you know, not everyone is cut out to be a head coach at Georgia, Florida. They don't; they're thin. Their skin might not be thick enough. They might not handle the pressure well. Like, I thought Dan Mullen was the perfect fit at Florida, and he still might be. He might get it turned around. But you're right. It's just, you can't get away with things at Florida that you can at other schools. And now, if he were winning big, no one would care. He could be dismissive of recruiting because we're coaching him up and all that stuff. But that's not happening right now.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. And I know usually I wouldn't ask about a game like this, but there's obviously a lot going on with it. Liberty in Oxford this week. Ole Miss. Are we expecting a tribute video to Hugh Freeze, like any type of halftime ceremony? Are they going to present him with a cell phone? Like, what's going to happen there?
Probably nothing. Maybe they'll wheel out a hospital bed. Although that was from his Liberty time.
Wow.
But by the way, I mean, going back, and I probably said this to you guys, like, talk about egos and coaches. There's nothing bigger than the ego of a coach who has to, like, coach from the press box in a hospital bed. Like, you think that important. I mean, just relax you. You know, I think Ole Miss fans, I don't know how they look at Hugh Freeze. They should probably thank him a lot because he took over from Houston Nutt. I think they went 0-8 in the SEC, and they quickly got relevant. And then he, put it this way, he accumulated a lot of talent in certain years and kind of helped make them more of a destination. Now they dipped a little bit with Matt Luke, but it's a fun game. Two of the best offensive minds in the country at the head coaching positions. Game's lost a little bit. It's luster. We thought maybe early in the year that Liberty could be undefeated. They lost at Syracuse, and then a couple weeks ago they shocked at Louisiana Monroe. So this is a good Liberty team with a good quarterback, obviously Malik Willis, but not quite the, you know, I'd be surprised if they won this game more before the season. I bet the spread, if there was a spread before the season, I bet it was pretty close.
So let me ask you this. Next year, do you think that both of those coaches, Hugh Freeze at Liberty and Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, are they at their current jobs or somewhere else?
That's a good one. Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I guess, you know, Kiffin, LSU is out there. I don't see that happening. Hugh Freeze, I think, will be a Power 5 head coach again. Like, I don't see Virginia Tech hiring him. I don't really know outside of LSU unless –
Why wouldn't Virginia Tech hire him?
Yeah, why wouldn't Virginia Tech hire him?
I don't know. I just I just don't see that. I don't know why. I don't have a good answer. Just don't see that school making the leap for a guy like that with that baggage. Not that, you know. Again, I have no. You know, with Babcock, their AD, he's been around. I just don't see it. I could be entirely wrong, but maybe, I mean, that's the type of school, you know, not a superpower, but a program that has the potential to be really good. So that's probably a good fit for him. It's not very, you know, that far from Liberty. So that might make sense. But my hunch would be, Chase, that both would still be at the same school.
I would be more surprised if both were at the same school than not.
Yeah.
Me, so
that's,
personally.
That's a very fair answer, too. It's sort of like just, you know, when you get two guys like that, I don't. I mean, so you seem to be thinking more. I don't know, because I don't see many options for Kiffin right now other than LSU, but that's before the carousel really starts spinning.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Hugh Freeze, there's like TCU's open now.
Yeah,
I mean,
TCU's
does that make sense for him? You know, so like you said Power 5, and I agree. I think he gets another Power 5 job. I don't know if he gets another big Power 5 like SEC job, so to speak, but I mean, TCU wouldn't be bad.
TCU and Virginia Tech make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would counter with that some SEC schools are the ones that are more likely to just say, oh, you know what, he's got baggage, but it was 5 years ago, and we really want to win at a high level. So I would say those schools, no one school in particular, but just sort of like grouping SEC schools into a group together more so than a Virginia Tech or a TCU, but, you know, could be wrong.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, Mark Stoops, you know, I'm not saying he will, but
–
But, you know, he could also, because of his recruiting ability, he could land one of these, and that would leave Kentucky open. So,
you and I talked about this, Darren. You and I were talking about this. If Mel Tucker leaves Michigan
and
State,
Mel Tucker, there's another one
for LSU, which has been a hot rumor. Would Stoops going from Kentucky to Michigan State be a lateral move or an upgrade or a downgrade?
Slight upgrade.
Ooh,
I think.
I don't know.
That's why I kind of pause a little bit. I mean, both schools where basketball is number one sport, although historically, you know, Michigan State, you know, 60s and 70s is probably more football. SEC is a better league. Michigan State, you know, a little, you know, more tradition football wise. Both have major hurdles within their own division as far as winning, you know, with Michigan State butting up against Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan in Kentucky. You know, obviously right now Georgia, but historically Florida and Tennessee too. That's an interesting question where if you ranked jobs, which seems to be fashionable to do, we did it at The Athletic, if you're ranking jobs, I think most people would rank Michigan State higher, but with the caveat that Kentucky probably is a job because of their history that has more job security than Michigan State because expectations historically are not as high.
Stoops has no issues with facilities. He's got all that stuff. I don't know what it's like at Michigan State. Does Michigan State just have everything at their fingertips too? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. You know, I don't think they're hurting for facilities. They don't stand out to me as one that has, you know, unbelievable facilities. But they did just pay a huge amount of money for Mel Tucker 2 years ago. I think it was like $5 million a year, more than that. After basically they tried to hire him away from Colorado. He said no. They tried to hire other people. Then they went back to him. So it's important to them. Obviously, they paid, you know, Mel Tucker was 6-6 in 1 year, I think, at Colorado. And they went and paid $5, $6 million for him. So I don't think, you know, money's not an issue at Kentucky, but it's obviously not an issue at Michigan State either.
Yeah, no doubt. What did we learn about Auburn with that win against Ole Miss?
They're pretty good. You know, I think you can. A lot of teams could play the what if game. You could play the what if game where we're talking about an Auburn team that lost to Georgia State and beat Penn State. I mean, very easily. So, you know, probably both of them could have happened. I'd say the Georgia State game probably should have happened. They're getting better. Bo Nix, what game was the Arkansas game that he got benched and came back in? Whatever game that was, that seemed to like rejuvenate him. He's been much better last few games. Defense has been good. Derek Mason's, you know, obviously in year one done a good job with that. And they're kind of like the team that we all sort of forgot about. We're all talking about Alabama. Could LSU bounce back? Arkansas was the hot team early. Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach, and oh yeah, Auburn's a pretty good program too. And they, every two or three years, three or four years, they sneak up and beat Alabama or something like that. And, you know, another big one this week. But I think we all have to be impressed with what Auburn's doing.
Okay, final thing. Rankings, first installment of the rankings come out tonight. Georgia, Alabama, who's 3 and 4? Who's in there?
Okay, I wrote this down before because I figured you guys would ask. Here are my rankings. And this is the caveat, whatever, that it doesn't really matter, obviously, because there's so much more to be played. And I always say this time of year, you have your deserved versus who we think is the best team. And right now, those two parallel lines are kind of far apart. But as the end of the season approaches, those lines get closer and closer and might almost, they never quite meet, but towards the end of the year when we have a full body of work, I think those two are closer together, if that makes sense. So mine right now would be Georgia, Michigan State, Cincinnati, Alabama. Now, if you're asking me to like go to Vegas and put money on like who I think are the best, or we don't have to go to Vegas anymore, or stay in Nashville and put money on who I think the best teams are, that's probably not it. But I think if it's a committee of one and I'm doing my top four tonight, that's what it would be.
There's no way I would put Cincinnati in front of especially Alabama. I mean, I've watched Cincinnati the last 2 weeks. They've played two garbage teams and barely beat them.
Right. I agree. I mean, if you ask me who I was going to bet on, Alabama or Cincinnati. But I think over the course of the year, that's going to play itself out. Alabama's going to play LSU this week. They're going to play other teams. They're going to play Georgia. And they're either going to play their way with their resume. They're going to have so many more better wins than Cincinnati, and they're going to be way ahead of them in the power rankings and all that. Or they're going to lose a couple games, and they're not going to be involved in the playoff push. So I think that will play itself out. The one that I don't get is everyone saying Cincinnati over Michigan State. Michigan State's playing a much more difficult schedule.
Well, definitely not. I'm just not impressed with Cincinnati. I'm sorry. I get it. They've got one really nice win. The Indiana win doesn't even look that great now, but they beat Notre Dame and South Bend. That's great. But they have nothing left on their schedule. SMU was attractive, and then they turned around and lost this week to Houston. So, I mean, I can't be impressed by what they've done this year other than one win.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just sort of like what I would do now, and again, that will play itself out. I think we'll learn more about them against SMU. It's not the opportunity for a marquee win, but if they continue to struggle against inferior teams, then that factors into the rankings.
Yep. Good stuff as always, Mitch. Appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
Mitch Light from The Athletic. Good little college football discussion right there, as yes, the rankings do come out for the first time. College football playoff rankings tonight. So we'll find out who indeed they have in their top four. We'll talk about that, and we'll get back into a little Titans discussion on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.